Life Coach Radio Network. Hello, and welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. Tonight, I will be your host. My name is Martin Salama, and you are tuned into Recovering from Divorce with Life Coach Martin Salama. I'm looking forward to spending the next little time with you. Not sure exactly how long our show will go. Since this is my first show, I'm a little nervous. I hope you'll all understand that. And I'm going to talk about what it's like to recover from divorce and how it is, how you can do it if you really want to. And I'll talk about my story a little bit, talk about what I went through my divorce, and as well as go through the seven steps that I discuss in my book, Recovering from Divorce, the seven steps to recover without drama to create a new life. So I'm looking forward to spending this time with you. If you'd like to call in, you can dial 646-716-9397. And if you'd like, we'd be more than happy to put you on the air if you have something you'd like to say. And also, there is the ability to type in on the chat anything that you might want to ask anonymously, any questions you might have. So I look forward to spending this time with you, and this will be the first of my ongoing show. I'm not sure exactly what days I'll be on going forward, and I'll let you know as we go along. But in the future months, I plan on having on guests to talk about different issues, different topics, not only about divorce and recovering from divorce, and but you know, things about how to go out and date, how to save the relationship you're in now, and even things that have nothing to do with divorce or relationships. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to meeting new guests, bringing them on, and introducing them to my audience, and hopefully you'll find them as interesting as I hope they will be. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. So as you know, my name is Martin Salama, and I became a life coach a few years ago at the same time that I was going through my own divorce. I grew up in a community, in a small Jewish community in Brooklyn, the Sephardic Jewish community, Orthodox, and I grew up in a family with four older sisters, and my parents, I had fantastic parents. Thank God my mom's still alive. I lost my dad about 12 years ago. They're wonderful people. They've always been very supportive, my parents, as were my sisters growing up. We have a fantastic family. Part of what I talk about in my book, in my life, is the things that go on in your life and how they have defining moments. For me, I would have to say a defining moment was when I was 10 years old, and I lost my brother to an accident where he was unfortunately killed by a bus. He was younger than me by about 5 years. And for me, that was a defining moment because I looked at myself as now I had to be the one that was going to carry on the burden of the family legacy, the family life, the family name. And it scared me, and I always felt that pressure. And as a result of having that pressure and feeling it, I always felt that I needed to please everyone else. I was always trying to make everybody happy, for everybody to see my accomplishments and recognize me and recognize all the things I had done. And it was a tough thing, you know, and over the years, especially over the last few years, I started to realize that by doing that, not only was I not pleasing anybody else, but even more importantly, I wasn't pleasing myself either. And that was around the same time that I decided to become a life coach, which I'll get into. Just a little bit more about my life. I was married for almost 25 years. And actually, on my 24th anniversary, my wife asked me for a divorce. It came about after we had a fantastic marriage, and when I got married, like I say in my book, I thought it was forever. And I thought we had a great marriage. I considered her to be my best friend for many, many years, and I only wanted to be with her during the day, during the night, any time. My thing was to be with my wife, my best friend, and my children. As we had children together, we have 4 wonderful, beautiful children, and I have 1 granddaughter who I go crazy for every time I see her. And it's really, you know, those are some great things. But as I was saying, I was married for almost 25 years, and on the 24th anniversary, she asked for the divorce. And I was devastated. You know, we were having problems for a few years, and it kind of culminated when in July and August of 2008, we had been working on a project together for a few years, for about 4 or 5 years, to build a tennis and health club in Tinton Falls, New Jersey, which is right in the center, right near the shore, right in the central part of New Jersey by the shore. And we finally got our approval in July and August of 2008, and from the town and from the city and all the different agencies that we need to get all the approvals from. And at the exact same time, that was the time when the economic world fell apart, and we went to the bank to say, hey, we're ready to start building our club, which was going to be basically a $15 million club. And the bank said, sorry, we're not lending right now. As a result, all the money I put into it, all the money I borrowed, I lost. We lost everything. We gambled in the business sense, not in going to Atlantic City or Las Vegas sense. We gambled, and we lost everything. And I borrowed a lot of money from family and friends, and it was very tough, difficult. It was a tough time for us, and we lost absolutely everything. And for a long time after that, we struggled, and it was hard. And, you know, we had over the years, we had had our ups and downs financially. And, you know, my wife at the time just felt like she couldn't do it anymore. It was too much for her. The roller coaster of her financials that we had gone through had just been too much for her. And she had decided that it was enough for her, and she wasn't gonna do it anymore. And it was a very difficult thing. I had always felt that whatever was going to happen in our lives, we can probably work on and get through. But, you know, it has to be two people. And when it happened, I immediately blamed myself for everything. I said, oh, it's all my fault. You know, I've done this, I've done that, whatever it was. And, you know, it's not her fault. And as I said, at about the same time I decided to go into life coaching, when I lost everything, it gave me an opportunity to look at myself and decide, what is it I want to do with my life? I basically have a clean slate now. I have to recreate my life. How do I want to do that? And it took a long time for me to come up with some answers on that. And what I ended up coming up with was, I realized that being in business as a businessman was always something I struggled with. It was what my family wanted me to do. It was what the community expected of everybody in our community to do, to go into business and become a businessman and own a business. And I did it. I did it for many, many years. But it was hard. It was difficult, and I wasn't totally happy with it. And I thought about it, and I thought about the things in my life that had always worked for me and that I would always felt comfortable doing. And what I realized was, I always loved helping people. I always loved being of service. As I grew up in my community, I was always involved in different community projects. When I was younger, I was involved in projects. As I got older and I moved to New Jersey, I was the founder of our synagogue, the first synagogue in Eaton Town. And, you know, I'm proud to say now that synagogue has well over 100 families that are part of it. It has a big, beautiful building that was built a few years ago. And I'm so happy for them, and I'm so happy for everybody in that community for what was built there and what will be lasting for a long time. As a matter of fact, when we built it, I went to my dad. I said, you know, Dad, we're building this, and we're looking to raise some money. And he says, okay, how about if we put some money towards the naming of the building, and we'll name it after your brother? So it was so heart-wrenching to hear that, but beautiful at the same time, because my father recognized the work I was doing and wanted to show me that my brother meant everything to all of us and that this was a way for us to perpetuate his memory. So that was a wonderful thing. And I thought about those things, and I said, you know what, let me think about different things that are of service. And as I thought more about it, I remembered going and having some life coaching myself, and I realized I really enjoyed that. And I looked into it, and I researched it for a while, and I decided, you know what, that's something I want to do. I did some research, and I found ends up being what's considered the best school in the country was only a few miles away from me, their office. It's called IPEC, and I'm proud to say I'm a graduate of IPEC, which is the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, and I graduated in 2011. Anyway, at the time when I graduated, when I was going through my divorce and I started the coaching, I don't know if I would have been able to get through my divorce if it wasn't for going through the coach training. And looking back at it now, it's because of the things that I had learned going through coach training. And one of the things that we do in coach training is we peer coach with our fellow students as we go through it. I coached someone else coached me, and so on. And I was lucky to have someone as a coach who helped me get through the point of when I moved out of my house and officially separated from my wife. And like I said, we lived in New Jersey, and I moved back to my childhood neighborhood of Brooklyn, which was difficult for me because my kids were still in New Jersey. My single kids were still in New Jersey, and I felt like I was going to lose touch with them, and I felt like I was never going to see them. And I cried. I literally cried that first week when I moved out because I was so nervous about what was going to happen. But my coach got through me, helped me get through it, and together I started to build myself up again quickly. And a lot of that had to do with the things that I was learning through coaching. As I went through the coach program during the divorce process, it helped me to re-energize myself and refocus myself into the things that were important to me and me deciding how I wanted to live the rest of my life through the coaching program and also how I wanted to become a coach, which is interesting because, you know, going through coaching, you have to decide on what your niche is. I mean, I can coach anybody on anything, but that's like saying I'm going to a restaurant. I want to open up a restaurant, and someone says, what kind of restaurant are you going to open? Well, I'll serve everything. No, people want to have Italian. They want to have French. They want to have Indian, whatever it is. They want to have a specific type of meal. So it's the same thing with coaching. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And for a while, I thought about becoming a small business coach because I knew small business very well because I was in it all my life. And it was great. It was interesting. But it wasn't what was tugging at my heart. And it's very funny how I ended up finding my niche of being a divorce recovery coach. What had happened is right after my divorce was final, I was on a mastermind group talking about how to market yourself and how to show people what you do. And the head of the mastermind group said, first thing you need to do is go onto your Facebook page and clean it up and make sure that it doesn't have anything on it that's embarrassing or not true or whatever. And I looked at my site, and luckily I didn't have anything embarrassing or stupid pictures or anything, but I did have that I was married, so I changed it to divorced. Within 48 hours, a friend of mine that I'd known for 30 years, who was the head of the matchmaking organization or one of the matchmaking organization people in my community, sent me a private message, are you ready to start dating? And I was like, whoa, that was quick. What ended up happening is I texted her back. I, you know, direct messaged her back saying, I don't know. I mean, I'm only divorced a few weeks at the time. She said, well, let's talk. So we set up a time and spoke for about an hour. And after the hour, she turned to me and she said, I got to tell you, for someone who's just divorced, I can't believe how well-adjusted you are. She says, I deal with people all the time who are just getting divorced or are divorced for a long time, and they're nowhere near where you are. You should give some workshops on divorce, on how to get through the divorce, on how to recover from it. And all of a sudden, that was my aha moment. I said, oh, my God, you're right. I do have something. I have my experiences of going through the divorce and coming out the other side whole and still happy or back to being happy. I suffered a lot. I hurt a lot. So it was hard. But then I sat down. I went through my process of what it took for me to get through my divorce. And I started to coach people around the divorce issue. And that's how I came up with my 7 steps to recover, which I'll go into a little bit in detail as we go along tonight. I just want to mention, if anybody wants to call in, I'd be more than happy to take your calls. The number is 646-716-9397. And I'll be more than happy to talk to anybody out there about what I went through or what they're going through. Like I said, the divorce, going through the divorce is a tough thing. And then coming up with the idea of becoming a divorce recovery coach was something different. You know, as a coach, you know, I was doing the research, and I noticed that there were a lot of people who were divorce coaches. And as I looked in more and more, what they were doing and the people they were attracting were people who were going through the divorce and needed coaching as to how to get through the divorce. With lawyers, with legal fee, with legal issues, with things that are going on with their ex and so on and so forth. But I wanted to really focus more on helping people to recover from the emotional pains that are come with the divorce. Whether you're the one that asked for the divorce or whether you're the one that's asked for the divorce, asked to be divorced, you suffer. So, you know, what exactly is divorce recovery? Well, we all know what divorce is. But do you know what divorce recovery is? Divorce recovery is the ability to put the past behind you without looking back, without holding any grudges towards your ex, and without wondering, what if I had done the things differently? It's about living fully in the present and being ready and excited about the future by moving forward in your life with clarity, a sense of purpose, and a desire to find happiness in whatever form it may take. So now, how do you know if you're recovering from your emotional toll that divorce has taken on you? It's not that easy. You know, there are a lot of things that could happen that could give you an indication that you think you're recovering, but you're not. You know, somebody once told me, you don't know what you don't know. And it's never more true than within a divorce. Here are some signs that you may not be recovered from your divorce. If you mope around, if you're depressed, if your friends and family say you're distant, if you feel self-conscious or unsure of yourself, if you've said, I can't imagine myself with someone else. Let's say you sit around in front of the TV all day and night and do nothing. You fight with everyone around you. Maybe you're a workaholic. You're saying, I'll stay in work all the time, and you'll stay, be lonely, and I'll drown myself in my work. Those are some of the signs. Maybe you're struggling and fighting with your ex. Maybe you're experiencing a certain amount of why me? Or feeling that lack of self-esteem or self-confidence. Well, really, how unsure you are about your life and how to handle your emotional roller coaster. Those are some of the signs that you haven't recovered from divorce. Your divorce. Now that might mean, you know, if you don't have all of them, I've recovered, you might have a little bit of everything. And there's different levels of recovery, of course, just like there's different levels of everything else. But here are some signs to see that you are recovering from your divorce. You're not thinking about the past and what could have been. You're focusing on today and what the future holds. Today, you're perfect the way you are, and you're looking to grow for the better. You're broadcasting a message of happiness and contentment. Your family and friends are excited to be around you. Your self-confidence is always improving, and you're always willing to seek new opportunities. You have a strong desire to find that someone special to move on with your life. You enjoy the people around you, and you're someone that understands that what's going on in the world and how to control your emotions and how to have a great experience with everything that happens. So, you know, there's a saying, doesn't heal all wounds. Action does. It's the actions you take with that time that heals you or doesn't. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is, if you sit there and wallow in self-pity and anger towards your ex, then the chances of recovering and healing the wounds that you're feeling are not very good. But if you're someone who says, I'm going to put the past behind me and I'm not going to hold on to the anger that I felt for my ex, then you're on the road for recovery. You know, the first couple of years after my, you know, going through the divorce, between the separation and the divorce, my ex and I fought a lot. And finally I realized that it was up to me whether or not I was going to have a fight with her or not, and whether she was going to have the fight with me. And it was my decision whether I was going to join that fight or not. And what I did was, whenever there was a time that I felt she was pushing my buttons, whether she was doing it consciously or unconsciously or subconsciously, which many times she was probably doing it subconsciously because it becomes part of your nature and you don't even realize you're doing it. And I would do it too. We all do it. We all have a way of pushing people's buttons, especially when we know that they're there to be pushed and you know that you want to get somebody into an argument, even if, like I said, if it's not on a conscious level. I finally realized that if I say no to myself about allowing that conversation to go on or that argument to go on, eventually it will stop. And to be honest, it did. It took a while, and I eventually, like I like to tell my clients, I eventually was able to disconnect the wires to the buttons that she used to push. And like I said, I'm not saying that she did it, you know, maliciously or consciously. And, you know, I'd like to say that as of today, I have a pretty good relationship with my ex-wife. Never perfect, of course, but it's pretty good. And I only wish her the best in her life, and I wish her to have a very happy life going forward. And that being said, I hold no ill feelings towards her whatsoever. And the other thing I want to say is, whatever you hear from me, these are my perceptions. If you read my book, I say the same thing there. These are my perceptions of how I looked at my marriage and my life through my eyes. If you speak to my ex, she may tell you something totally different. But this is my life, and this is how I went, you know, how I look at it. What I'd like to do now is go through the 7 steps that I have in my 7 steps to recover. And the way I worked it, and it took me a while, I used the word recover as an acronym for the 7 steps. And you'll see what I mean. The first letter is R, which stands for recover, of R, stands for, excuse me, it stands for the following. I apologize, I'm stepping over myself right now. It stands for reveal what's keeping you stuck and release your frustration. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over all 7 of them, and then I'll go back over each one individually. So the first one is reveal what's keeping you stuck and release your frustration. The second one is the E, evaluate how your emotional roller coaster is holding you back. The next is choose the values that are most important in your life. Then obtain the tools you need to correctly respond to all situations. I purposely use the word respond, not react, which I'll get into. The next is visualize. Who do you want to be from here on out? Then embrace the new life you're creating and enjoy your endless potential. And the last one is reclaim this happy and fulfilling and sustainable life and be ready to accept new love. That's a big step as well. But, you know, as I said, each step is important. But at the end of the day, you want to find happiness again. Some people, the happiness may be in being alone. That's fine. If that's what they decide, if they're going through the process, that they're happy to be alone, great for them. As long as they know that they're happy about it and they're not fooling themselves. And that's what I do with coaching. We make sure that as we go through these steps, that we don't move on to the next step until we're pretty sure or almost exactly sure that you've gone through the previous step. And to be honest, the first 2 steps are the hardest because it's revealing what's keeping you stuck and releasing that frustration that's keeping you stuck. And then evaluating what it is that's holding you back from moving forward. And like I said, I'll go into each one individually. But those two are the hardest to get through. Once you go through those, the rest start to happen a little faster. And it's because you're beginning to make that shift in your life, in your mind, that that things are going to be good and things can be great. And it's like I said, it's up to you. I remember a saying I used to hear years ago when I was involved in network marketing, Amway. Everybody did Amway. I did Amway too. And it was, if it is to be, it is up to me. And that's true with anything in life. If anything that you want is to happen, it's up to you to make it happen. Can't blame anybody else for where you are in your life. You know, it's like whenever there's a fight going on between two people, they always want to turn and say, it's your fault and it's your fault, without looking at themselves. As a matter of fact, I talked about this the other night. I was fortunate to be on a live coach chat forum the other night, a roundtable discussion, and that was my first foray into the radio network. And we were talking about this, and I said to them that it's very easy for me to turn around and say it's my wife's fault, it's her fault. And through therapy, I finally understood. I talked about therapy and that I felt like I was the one to blame. Through coaching, not so much therapy, through coaching, I finally understood that we were both victims and we were both at fault in our marriage. And that I have to take responsibility for my parts, as does she, if she wants to move forward in her own life. Like I said, I'm not here to say anything good or bad about my ex. She's a wonderful mother, and I wish her the best. But, you know, it's really up to you what you do with it. It's how you want to move forward and how you want to live the rest of your life. So that has a lot to do with what goes on in your life and how you want to perceive things. And I always say you're perfect where you are today, and tomorrow's another day to become perfect another way. And, you know, so that's where we are. Before I go on, you know, one of the things we do on Life Coach Chat Radio, is Life Coach Radio Network, is to let you know about some of the upcoming shows, because there might be something there that might be interesting for you or someone you might know. So just so you know, tomorrow at noon, Life Coach Chat, Friday, July 26th at noon, the topic will be how our core values shape our priorities, tools and tips to keep life on track, with Mandy Rosniak, Filomeno Iorio Tasuluk, and Carrie Spaulding. So you take a listen tomorrow at noon. On Saturday, the Happy Health Hour with health coach Jen Duffy. Detox diets and juice cleanses have become very popular as a way to use food and nutrition to reset your digestive system. But what about the whole body? Your physical surroundings play an important role in your energy, mood, and overall well-being. Join health coach Jen Duffy for the next episode of the Happy Healthy Hour, where she'll be talking about ways to reduce chemicals, clutter, and chaos in the home and office. They'll share examples on easy ideas to detox your life so you'll feel refreshed, renewed, both inside and out. And that is Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as the Life Coach Chat is Friday at noon Eastern. And on Sunday, Super Soul Sunday, every Sunday they do a wrap-up, a recap of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday 11 o'clock Eastern Time show, and they discuss the different authors or people that were on the show. And this week, Oprah's interview of Ayanla Van Zandt. Join Andrea Ruchelman, lead host and owner of New Perspective Communication, as she leads the discussion with co-host Veronica Taylor, owner of Life Leaders Coaching, and Tim Billiter, owner of DYI for Your Soul, following Oprah Winfrey interview with best-selling author and spiritual teacher Ayanla Van Zandt about how she was able to find peace among the broken pieces of her life, and how she uses her life lessons to help others in crisis. They'll discuss how you can take some of those lessons Ayanla Van Zandt learned and how to apply them in your life. So please take a listen to those if any of them are interesting to you. They sound great to me, and I'm going to see if I can get on them. So, you know, we'll see what happens. If you'd like to take a listen to those, great. So now, in the next little time that we have together, I'm going to go a little bit into each one of the seven steps a little further than I had earlier. So the first one is reveal what's keeping you stuck and release your frustration. So how do you do that? Well, part of the revealing process is having an open and honest discussion with someone, could be someone that you're close with, or someone that, like a coach or a stranger or a therapist even. You know, there's a difference between therapy and coaching. Therapy is great. Therapy, we say this in coaching a lot. Therapy takes you from dysfunctional to functional. Coaching can take you from functional to optimal. So step one is the most important step. It's the most important step because it allows you, if you allow yourself to continue to live in the past, the process of recovering can't really begin. It's so important that it actually has two parts. Like I said, reveal what's keeping you stuck and release your frustration. So by what I mean by keeping you stuck is you can't move forward because you have emotions that are holding you back from the happiness you've always deserved. Think about who you are now in your life. Are you happy that the marriage is over? If you are, great. But what does that happiness look like? Does it come with a price? Maybe that price is feelings of guilt, frustration, or anger. Or maybe, you know, it's a lot of other things. You need to figure first, be blunt with yourself about what it is that's holding you back. And between reveal and evaluate, evaluate how your emotional roller coaster is holding you back, I have something that I use in my practice. It's called the Divorce Recovery Assessment. What the Divorce Recovery Assessment is about a 70-question online assessment questionnaire, basically, where you answer some questions. And then me, as someone who understands how to read it, shows you where your feelings are in your life. We talk about this a lot in my coaching circles, in my coaching practice, in the school I went to, that there are 7 levels of energy. And they start on the bottom with things like victim mode, why does always everything happen to me, and things like that. And they go up to anger mode, where you're always in conflict, and it goes higher and higher to different levels. And the idea is to find the levels that work well for you. The first 2 levels are called catabolic, because they're negative, and then you want to get into an anabolic, which is a positive type of thing, which I'll go into further on future shows. But it starts with you understanding what you don't know about yourself. Like I said before, you don't know what you don't know. So it goes with revealing what's keeping you stuck. And having this assessment helps us to find a way to begin to build the map, the roadmap to your success, so then you can release the frustration. Because first, revealing it is great. But if you don't release that frustration and surrender it to God, if you were, and say it is what it is and put it behind you, you'll never move forward. So then it's about evaluating how those emotional roller coasters are holding you back. Today are you feeling depressed, and tomorrow you're feeling euphoric. I don't mean in a manic, depressive, bipolar way. I'm talking about that you don't know what's happening day to day because it's a new world for you. You're in a new life. This is you're having to face to adapt to a different way of life. If you're the man, and you happen to be a man who's where in most cases that the wife takes the children and you don't see your children as much, that's a tough thing. How do you deal with not seeing your children as much? How do you adapt to that? If you're a woman and now you never really were the one who took care of the finances in the family, and now you're getting an alimony or however it came out, and you have to figure out how to juggle your finances so that you have enough money at the end of the month instead of month at the end of the money, that's up to you. You know, those are some of the things that you have to evaluate, how those emotions are playing in on you every day and how it's affecting yourself and the people around you. The next one, after you've gotten those down, it's time for you to start to build your future. The first steps are recognizing the past, not going deep into them. If you're going to go deep into them, you're better off going to therapy and not moving forward. Recognizing the past, recognizing what was good, what was bad in the past, what needs to be changed, what needs to be strengthened, what needs to be eliminated, and then moving forward. But it's about opening your eyes and revealing those things that you don't even realize are keeping you stuck. And you go to number 3, which is choose the values that are most important in your life. I cannot stress enough how important this one is. When you're going through a marriage, you end up very often you realize that your values may not necessarily be the values that your ex or that your spouse had. And now's the time for you to decide what are the values that are most important in your life and how do you want them to play a role in your life. It's so important to have those values and know what they are. So together, we can go through them and decide what are the most important values in your life and how do you want to utilize them in your life. You know, some of the values could be things like creativity, excellence, freedom, humor, personal growth, physical appearance, professionalism, fulfillment, honesty. I have lists of them in my book, maybe 30 or 40 of them. And there's others. That's just a small one. You can come up with a few of yourself. Clarity, walking the talk, vitality, truth, service, self-mastery, whatever it is. You decide what those tools are that you need so that you could have the value system that you want. Because those are the things that are going to help you to move forward. They're your values. They're what you need in your life. Okay? Then, once you've gotten those values down, the next step is obtaining the tools you need to correctly respond to any situation. How you respond to a situation will determine what the outcome will be. Like I said, the subtitle of step four is deliberately written as respond, not react. Just to give you a quick idea of a couple of them, think before you act. Respond, don't react. Said that before, and I'll say it again. That's so important. And then another tool that you can use, which if you started to use this right now, and it's not easy, trust me, you will see a huge change in your life. Don't take anything personally. No matter what anybody says to you, it's about them. I learned this a few years ago, and I literally lived my life by it. What they say is about them. What you hear is about you. I'll use a husband and a wife, and I'll be the husband. What she says to me is about her and what's going on in her life. What I hear her saying is about me and what's going on in my life. If you're able to understand that and say, oh, and she's in a bad mood, and whether it's about me or not, I don't really care. What someone thinks about me is none of my business. I literally believe that. Now, I'll be honest with you. When it comes to the negative things that people say, I'm pretty much in the 90% area of not taking it personally. When it comes to the positive, I'm not there yet. I still love when someone tells me I did a great job or they give me a compliment. Not as much as I used to be, but I'm still on the positive side. I know that there's still things I have to work with. And I have a coach, and I know my coach has a coach, and so on. I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I believe that you can never stop learning. On to the next one. Visualize who do you want to be from here on out. This is a huge one for when you're starting to put your life together to find someone, a new life, a new love in your life, if that's what you want. You know, a lot of that has to do with goal setting. I use something in my practice called AIM SMART. And AIM SMART stands for acceptable, ideal, and middle. Acceptable, what is the minimum that you can do? Ideal, what is the ideal you want to attain? And middle, what's in the middle? What's realistic? What's a realistic stretch you're willing to do? And then SMART. Your goals have to be SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, reasonable, and time-oriented. Now, here's a perfect example. Now that you're divorced and you're about to go back out into the single scene, how do you feel about the way you look? Maybe you're overweight. Maybe it's time for you to start to lose weight. Here's a perfect example. We would sit down together, or you can decide to do this on your own. Set yourself goals, short-term goals, middle goals, and long-term goals, and make sure that they're realistic. So that's part of the visualizing. Find an old picture of yourself, of how you looked at your best when you thought you looked the best in the world of yourself. Put it up on the refrigerator. Say, I want to look like that again. I had a client, she wanted to lose 50 pounds and fit back into a bathing suit. Together, mostly with her, she was able to do it. Why I say together is because I think of a coach, as a life coach, as an accountability partner. When you have to answer to your boss, to your children, to your ex-wife, to your family, to whoever, and there's things you get done, you need to get done, more often than not, you get it done. But when you need to answer to yourself, when you say, okay, I'm going to start a diet tomorrow, or okay, I'm going to eat better, or whatever, or, oh, I'm going to do this better, or whatever, you end up disappointing yourself because you let everything else happen that you have to take care of. So as a coach, I consider myself an accountability partner because we set up the goals together, and then the next week, the next time we get together, I go over those goals with you, and we see how you did on the short term, how you're doing on the middle term, and how you're doing in the long run. And what happens is you end up when this, I cannot tell you how many times this has happened with my clients. I get back together with them, and they go, oh, I'm so excited. I got so many things on the list done, and I knew I was going to talk to you today, and I knew I had to get it done. And I go, so why did you get it done? She goes, I didn't want to disappoint you. I said, but who's the one that's benefit from it? And they go, oh, I am. I go, well, how great is that? So that's what I feel is so important about an accountability partner, a coach, and having goals set up if that's the way you want to go. The next step is embrace the new life that you're creating and enjoy your endless potential. So here's an example. Here's a quote from St. Francis of Assisi. Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. So now, what do I mean by this? It's time for you to take yourself and what you've done so far between revealing what's holding you, keeping you stuck, releasing the frustration, evaluating your emotions that are holding you back, choosing the new values, obtaining the tools so that you could not take anything personally and be able to respond and be able to... I'm not saying don't ever have a fight, don't ever get angry. Just understand that when you do it, what is your goal? What is your mission in that fight, in that anger? I'd love to say that I'm never going to get angry again, but I know that's not true. And then you're visualizing who you are and you're working toward those goals. So now you embrace it all. You take it all in and you say, okay, great. How am I going to go further along with how this is going? Now that's about embracing it, saying, I'm happy with who I am. I'm happy with the new me. I see the future in front of me, and I know that I'm going to continue to grow. And, you know, part of that, I got to tell you, when someone told me early in my divorce that a big part of it is forgiveness, I had a difficult time of it. I was still hurt. I was still blaming everybody else. I was blaming her. Oh, the marriage is over. I was blaming myself. I was blaming everybody, really mostly myself. And when I realized at this point that if I would forgive and just let go, it would be unbelievable. When I was writing the book, I almost didn't put it in there. I considered whether or not to write it. And the reason I was thinking about not including it was for those who have not yet recovered from your divorce, it's you're holding on to it so much, that resentment, that anger and mistrust, the last thing they want to think about is forgiving their ex or forgiving anybody. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. If they could, they might even want to kill their ex. So, but the concept of forgiveness is so important because you forgive all who have offended you, not for them, but for yourself. Because it's not about saying I'm forgiving them so that they could be happy. When you forgive them for yourself, then it's a greater, greater thing, and you're able to take advantage of it and move on in your life. And the last step is now reclaiming that happy and fulfilling life, going out and looking for the person that you're ready to start living your life with. You know, there's a saying, I took my daughter to a movie a few months ago called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And after watching the movie, I was a little concerned about taking a 13-year-old girl to it. It wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. It said PG-13. But anyway, it was a little of a tough subject matter. She got through it. I got through it. But at the time, I was like, oh, my God. But there was something that was said in that movie that has stuck with me so long after. We accept the love we think we deserve. What that means is what typically happens is, like, we believe that anyone and everyone says about us to the point that we no longer believe in ourselves. We believe everything that they're saying. You let those detractors, whether we just, you know, convince you that you're not worth it, you don't wait to be happy, you don't deserve to be loved to the max. Well, I'm here to tell you it's not true. You deserve to live the happiest life possible, and it starts with you taking everything that we discussed so far and combining it to create the new you and find that unbelievable love that you deserve. When you're convinced that you're a great person and you're worth it and that you wait to be joyful and you deserve to be loved to the max, that's when things will start to happen to you and show up. It doesn't necessarily mean that tomorrow you're going to find that love of your life, but it does mean that you'll be opening up your day, looking outside and saying, it's a beautiful day, even if it's 10 inches of snow outside. You'll find the positive in everything. You'll find the opportunities in the challenges that come your way. They're not challenges, they're opportunities. So that's really the seven steps, is starting to reclaim it. And then you have to decide in those seven steps what type of relationship you want to have. And for me, I wrote this in the book, and I'm going to talk about it for a minute now. There are four components of a relationship, and a supported commitment. There's emotional supported commitment, spiritual, financial, and physical. Okay? Emotional means that you're there for each other through whatever. You know, I talked about this a little before. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more now. When I was going through my marriage, I didn't realize that what I thought I was doing really wasn't. What I mean by that is, in a marriage, people think that they, you know, people are in a marriage to make each other happy. And I thought I was doing that. A few months ago, I had one of those aha moments, one of those defining moments, actually when I was writing my book. And I realized that that's not what I was doing. I wasn't making my wife happy. I was trying to make sure that I wasn't making her unhappy. That's a huge difference. I was always going out of my way to make sure that she wasn't unhappy. I realized that in every marriage, in every relationship, not just a marriage, in family relationships, in friendship relationships, there should be a 50-50 balance between the relationship, where I give my 50%, you give your 50%, and that's it. What happens is, very often it's never exactly 50-50. And it usually hovers between 60-40, 40-60. But what happens is when one person loves somebody more than the other, more than the 50-50, 60-40, the one that loves less, whether they realize it or not, are in control of that relationship. And they control the emotions of the person that loves more, because that person that loves more will do anything to get the person to love them as much as they love the other person. And it's not that simple. So that's one of the things I talk about, is that you have to understand that every relationship you go into, they have their own life, their baggage, and their ways they do things. You have your own life, your baggage, and the way you do things. And you have to accept who they are as they are. If not, then there's no relationship there, and you need to figure that out sooner rather than later. And don't go into a relationship saying, oh, as we go along, I'll change him or I'll change her, because you can't. That's who they are. If a person can't change, that's because they don't want to change, and that's fine. That's their life. But you shouldn't get into it thinking that you can change them. So I realized that that's what I was doing. I was, A, trying to change her and hoping to get her to love me more, and B, I was doing everything in my power to make sure that she wasn't unhappy. We were in such a codependent relationship that it was really doomed a long time ago, but we didn't see it because we were trying our best to try to make it work. And when we told our children that we were getting divorced, they were like, whew, you know, the fighting around here has gotten too much. They were more relieved than I thought, and I was more upset than they were. But looking back at it now, I'm where I should be now in my life. And I'm very happy where I am, and I'm looking forward to building my new life going forward. I'm only divorced, not even 2 years, but I'd like to feel that I'm pretty much fully recovered, and I'm, you know, open for love and open for happiness from everybody, not just that one person in my life. I'm willing to have a great relationship with anybody who's willing to take the 50% I'm willing to give and to give their 50%. So, you know, that's basically my first episode tonight of the top things I want to talk about. I just wanted to bring up a couple of other little things before we go. So, as I said, I'm going to be doing this for a while. I'll be starting this show. And one of the things that I'd like to do is to offer people out there who are still sort of struggling with their life and how they're moving forward, and they're not sure how they want to do it, how they're moving forward. I have a couple of things. First is the divorce recovery assessment, which is a deep, in-depth look at how you are recovering from your divorce and also how you're living your life. I call it the divorce recovery assessment because that's my specialty, is divorce recovery. But it's so much more of that. And, you know, so that's one of the things I do. But I also have something called the divorce recovery questionnaire, which is just the start of being able to see what your life is like now and how you're beginning to recover. And it's a lot like, I grew up with four older sisters, and, you know, there was always a Cosmo around, and the women in the audience knows there's always that Cosmo quiz where at the end there's points. So I kind of like, you know, fashioned it in that way. You take the questionnaire, and there's points to show you to score yourself. So if you're interested in finding out about it, you can go to free divorce recovery questionnaire.weebly.com. Free divorce recovery questionnaire.weebly, weebly.com. Okay? Take that questionnaire, and I'd like to make this offer. For the first five people that take the questionnaire, fill it out, and send me back their results, their score and their results, I will give them a 30-minute free breakthrough session to discuss how it is they're recovering, how their recovery is going. So that's, again, free divorce recovery questionnaire.weebly.com. Or you can go to the Facebook, to Your Divorce Recovery Coach, to my Facebook page, and click on there, and it's on there as well. And you can click in, and there'll be a way to opt in where you put in your name and first name and last name and your best email address and sign up, and you'll get the questionnaire almost immediately if the computer's working as it should work. And, of course, you can buy my book, which you can go to my website, yourdivorcerecoverycoach.com or ydrcoach.com, and go to endorsements, and there's a link to get my book, which you can read and get an idea of what's going on. And in their book is also there's a page that shows you how to find that questionnaire that I just talked about. Or you can even contact me at martin@ydrcoach.com, and tell me you'd like to find out more about the divorce recovery assessment, and it'll be my pleasure to sit with you and explain to you how the assessment works. What happens when you take the assessment is I'll get the results, and we'll set up a time to meet for about between 45 minutes and an hour to go over the results and decide how you're recovering, how deeply you want to move on, and what's holding you back, and we can build a roadmap. The questionnaire is just a start. If you're ready to move further, go for the assessor, the assessment. But if you're just not sure yet and you want to find out about me and you want to learn more about me and not sure about if you want to work with me, that's fine. Let's spend some time together, 30 minutes, go through it a little bit, talk about the things, and you'll be amazed when you get to see some of the things you don't know, what you don't know. And that'll help you so much. You know, we're coming up to almost an hour, and to be honest, I wasn't really sure if I can get through a full hour. I'm almost there, so I'm pretty proud of myself. If anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate to type them in. Like I told you, you could type in very easily, and I'll be more than happy to answer them. Of course, this is being recorded. If you weren't able to be on live, you can send me an email, martin@ydrcoach.com, or if you think like you might be one of the first five, or you just want to take this questionnaire and, you know, contact me and see, you know, where you go from there, that's fine. Again, it's freedivorcerecoverycoestionnaire.weebly.com that you can go to get the questionnaire. freedivorcerecoveryquestionnaire.weebly.com, or you can go to my website, yourdivorcerecoverycoach.com, and check out the whole page, the whole website. But if you're just looking to find out about the book, go to the events page. The endorsements page, and you'll see on the top a link to finding the book online through Amazon. You can get a Kindle version, or you can get a paperback version. And there's also endorsements from some great people who's read my book and told me how they felt about it. And, you know, if you don't like it, that's okay. I'm not going to take it personally. It's not for everybody, but I don't take anything personally. But it was very nice of those people to give me the endorsements that they gave me. So as we're wrapping up, I just wanted to remind you again about the three shows that are coming up this coming next few days. The first one is Life Coach Chat, Our Values Set, Our Priorities, which is tomorrow at noon with Mandy Rosniak, Filomeno Iorio-Tasuluk, and Carrie Spaulding. On Saturday, the Happy Healthy Hour with health coach Jen Duffy, which she talks about detox diets and juice cleanses and how to detox your life in a different way maybe. And on Sunday is our Super Soul Sunday wrap-up of the Oprah interview with Ayanla Van Zandt, with coaches Andrea Ruchelman and Veronica Taylor and Tim Billiter. And I'm excited to be part of the Life Coach Radio Network, as well as the International Life Coach Network, which you'll hear some more about as we go along. Some of my shows will be on this. Some of my shows will be on the other channel. But, you know, I appreciate your time together with us here. And thank you so much for joining us, for joining me. And like I said, I think the next time that I'm going to be on a show will be for my own personal solo show or with someone, which I'll let you know, will be at the end of July, on July 25th at 8 p.m. That will be my next show. Please join me. I'll let you know in advance if I'll have a guest. I probably will. But my next show is August 29th. Thursday, August 29th will be my next show where I will be the host. I look forward to it. I hope that you've gotten something out of our show here today. I thank you for joining me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your giving me this moment to share myself with you, to share my story, to share what I have. I think you saw over the last 60 minutes, my passion about helping people to recover from the emotional pains of divorce, to create a new life and find a new love. This is Martin Salama, your divorce recovery coach. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great evening.